This is the Technical Difficulties, and we are playing Two of These People Are Lying, because two of these people will be Chris Joel, Gary Brannan.
I'm fully toilet trained.
Okay, that got me, well done. And Matt Gray.
The way this works, if you haven't noticed yet, is the three of us will all pick a Wikipedia article, a Wikipedia article, and put it down on one of these pieces of cards. Tom is now going to select one of these pieces of card.
Oh my goodness.
One of us will be telling the truth about what this is. The other two have no idea and will be making it up. We will be lying.
And today we are talking about Henricus. Henricus. Chris, could you please tell me about Henricus?
Noted ancient Roman. Not ancient Roman. There's not really ancient Rome. Is it ancient Rome? Yeah, ancient Rome, actually. That rings true.
If he was modern Rome, that'd be...
Yeah. No, noted Caesar era Rome.
There we go.
Qualifier. Drunkard.
Okay. Noted drunkard. Gary Henricus.
A horse.
Henricus the horses.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll ask for follow-up details later. That's how this works. Matt.
Also known as Henricopolis.
Oh.
It is a settlement. Or was a settlement. I should have said was.
Was a settlement. All right. Gary.
Yes.
A horse.
You wish for more information?
Well, yes. Is it an ancient horse? Is it a modern racehorse? Is it just some horse?
What, just a piece of
Can
horse?
Can I say, strictly adhering to the categories you have outlined there, none of those.
Ooh.
You said, is it an ancient horse, is it a modern racehorse, or is it just a horse? It is none of those. It's an old racehorse.
Okay.
It won the Grand National in 1899.
Right.
And is notable for being the last horse that was able to go round fences and win.
Go round fences?
Well, yeah, because the rules of steeplechase hadn't been formalised by that point, and no one had thought about what happens if a horse just decides
to dodge
get
the fences.
Through and so-
with its rider still on it.
So oh, that's amazing.
It's completely out of control. Didn't, you know, there's, obviously there are cases in... Yeah.
You have a loose horse.
Yeah, you have a loose horse, but it's normally shed its rider. Whereas in this point, the rider actually stayed on but couldn't control the damn horse. And so it was dodging all the fences, therefore comes first because it's not got the slowing down effect of having to jump over the fences. And so it was the last one where they said, well, it's not in the rules that you actually have to leap all the fences with your, you know, with your rider on, that kind of thing.
I want that to be true.
Well, say it is then, you prick.
Yeah, just do it. Be brave.
Just do it.
You don't need to know about us.
You don't need to wait.
Commit
for the
other... to Gary for once.
Come on.
All right, first horse, the last horse
correct.
To go around rather than over and
yeah.
still will be allowed
It was
to
the
win.
Point then that they changed the rules.
All right. Chris, a Caesar-era drunkard.
Yeah. So, just after birth of Christ sort of time, early ADs, guy is born in Gaul, sees what's going down in the Holy Land and think, yeah, you know what? You know what? There's some rubes for the taking here. Has a sort of relatively uneventful childhood, picks up the bottle a little bit in northern France, but obviously this is the era of occupation. You can move slowly if you have to. So he decides, right, I'm going to find the centre of empire. I am going to start my own personality cult. You know, I'm going to become the guy, you know. Henricus will echo through the ages. Jesus, just the warm-up act. I know what I'm about. Manages to make his way over about the next 10 years to the centre of the empire in Rome, by which time he is, as you'd imagine, well-tanned. Knows his way around, knows what's going on. Sets himself up with this little cadre who've been following him as the stories have been getting grander and grander. So, don't you know I came from Gaul and X happens there? And of course, the next place you go to, nobody knows that. And you continue this and you continue this and you continue this. Eventually washes up in Rome with this cadre of 40, 50 people, whatever else, at which point the empire goes, excuse me? Yo, what? Pontificating on the steps, debating people as they did. Completely takes the rug out from underneath him. Everybody gets thumbs down, lions, the whole bit. At which point he takes to the bottle, famous drunk, still shouting at the orators.
I can't tell if this is a brilliant historical story or you're planning if you get sent back in time.
What do you mean sent back in time? What happened? You know I'm from the north?
It's how he came down here. It's taken him all the last 6 months to get here.
Found his way to the seat of empire. Yeah, which is that's obviously, it. Matt's kitchen.
And Boris is going to feed me to the lions.
Yeah.
Topical.
Well, that'll be out of date by the time that goes out.
Yes.
Right. I have zero follow-up questions. It was an excellent story. Well told. I just am completely unable to tell if that is something you made up or if that is just a really good telling of an article.
Tom, you know that's the game.
Yes! Matt, Henrikopoulos.
It's going to seem really boring compared to that now. but it has a slight bit of interest in that Henrico, or Henrikopoulos, it has a few names, was one of the first settlements in the New World. So it was in Virginia.
Okay.
And it doesn't exist anymore. No one's quite sure where it was. But there is now a Henrico County in Virginia, which is named after it.
Huh.
And in its place now is, near it, is a living history centre, it said. I assume that's like Beamish.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Load of reenactors. And
yeah.
Sorry, you okay there, Gary?
North American Beamish. It's a bit like Beamish. It's how they market it.
Henrico Living Heritage Centre.
It's a, fair,
it's a bit like Beamish.
Fair portion of the UK where that would work.
What else did it say about it? Oh, it's near to where Pocahontas grew up.
Man, that's difficult. Wow.
Well done, everybody.
Well done, everybody. Well done. Well done. Well done. Well done.
Well done. Well done. Good innings.
Mm. Mm.
Seen him right off.
Mm. I'm genuine. The thing is, I don't have any reasonable follow-up questions on these either, because you have told the entire history of a man who may or may not have been Henricus. I just don't think... Okay, Gary, I'm really sorry.
There's no reasonable follow-up questions, except for you.
I haven't struck you out yet.
I just don't think that they'd have awarded the Grand National to someone who went around the edges even then. I just don't think so. It's not like scrub out wrong. But it's certainly not my first choice.
He's put parentheses around you and torn the piece of paper into another page.
That's a great story. That's a more plausible Wikipedia article. Matt, I believe you, am I right?
Yes.
Oh.
Wow!
Hmm.
I think we were all surprised by that.
Well, Matt probably wasn't.
No, I was surprised as well.
By what?
I don't know. You're doing quite well today, aren't you?
Apparently I am.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Shall I go get a new article?
Yes.
Or shall I tell you more?
We're genuinely all stunned by the fact that that wasn't the
I know,
story.
Right?
Let's just surface that here.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
I want to follow that up in a minute, but tell us about Henrikopoulos.
The city, i.e. of Henricus, also known as Henrikopoulos, Henrico Town, or Henrico, was a settlement in Virginia founded by someone in 1611 as an alternative to the swampy and dangerous area around the original English settlement at Jamestown.
Right.
It was named for Prince Henry, the eldest son of King James I.
The thing that sold me on it was changing the one to Henrico and that also being an option. That's exactly the sort of thing that little detail.
Mm.
When you just said it was Henrikopoulos or Henricus, I was just like, oh, that's not a thing.
I'm really stalling for time.
Henrico County sold that somehow to...
Mm.
The site of Henricus is located on a neck of land called Farrer's Island, which later became part of the Shire of Henrico, and was renamed Henrico County in 1637.
Gary, you're...
Oh, I missed a great bit.
What?
The portion of Henrico County that lay south of the James River was detached to form the present-day Chesterfield County.
Chesterfield! Pyrite!
I'm gone.
I was going to say, I'm from Mansfield. I should immediately hate the place. But, Gary... did you just make that up?
Yes.
Okay.
That was stellar. Yours was
excellent.
Really good.
Genuinely, I was half convinced for a while that they would have just let someone who go around the outside.
Well, if it's not even in the rules, I could just imagine that kind of thing. Well, actually, it doesn't say you've got to jump all the fences.
Spirit of the law, you f***ed up. Letter of the law.
Yeah.
We have to give you this.
Yeah. No, that was really, really convincing. Chris, did you make that up out of whole cloth? Or was
that...
That's outstanding.
It's good. I like it.
Sorry, that is outstanding work. That really is.
You should publish it. It was really good. Like, I was believing you, and it was my bloody article.
Yeah.
I was believing you a bit, but f***ing hell.
Bloody good, that. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I thought it was a bit too woolly in places, but...
Oh, but you set the mood.
All right, Matt, I'm somehow still surprised by this. Could you go find a new article, please?
Yeah.
Matt's gone and got a new article. I'm going to pick this one from the three. And for the second half, I'm going to try and clean sweep this again, because I've been doing well this series. Dangers of the engagement period. Dangers of the engagement period. Gary.
I took a swig of tea thinking I was safe then.
Gary, dangers of the engagement period.
Yes.
What is it, please?
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
Qu'est-ce que c'est? Well,
quoi?
I shall tell you.
What's behind the round window, Gary?
Well, I shall tell you. Always, you will see by its syntactic expression, it's a very rough translation. But it is a manual produced by the South Korean government as a lover's guide or a couple's guide.
Oh, I'm definitely going to ask you a lot of detail about that in a
Thank
moment.
Thank you. I've read hard.
I'm sure you have. Chris, Dangers in the Engagement Period.
Is a film.
Oh, that's all I'm getting on this first round, Rich.
Do you want some more?
No, that's fine. Matt.
Sorry, every time I say something, well, here's my list of follow-up. These two say anything. Fine. How is him saying a film more plausible?
I mean, he didn't say South Korean lover's guide.
And yet he always credits detail.
Matt.
It is a series of documentary films.
Documentary films. All right. So I will give you a rest here, Gary. I'm going to ask for more details from Chris here.
Because
you just said film.
I did.
Yes. Can you please be more specific?
It is a film that came out in 1930.
Oh, that's a very early film.
It is a German film.
Right.
It was filmed in the Netherlands on a train. It had Marlene Dietrich in it.
Hold on. Is there any reason you're talking like that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I did something different last time. Can I do something different this time?
Sure.
Yeah. So those are some more details. Do you want me to string them together? Or do you,
Go on.
I kind of feel like all I can do is say it actually in a string.
Yeah, right.
It's a 1930 German film starring Marlene Dietrich. It was one film before The Blue Something, which was her breakout role that sent her to Hollywood. It was filmed in the Netherlands. It's set on a train. It is about the dangers of engagement because they're on a train that gets derailed. She falls in love with the Baron she's been sharing the coach with, or somebody of rank. And then they spend the night falling in love more after the train's derailed. And then it all goes to pot because she's engaged to his American friend or he's engaged to her American friend. And then I assume they finish the film with Marlene Dietrich marrying this guy.
Right.
Happy now?
Yes.
Good.
But after the startling show of fabrication last time, I don't know what to think. This is excellent.
Good. Carry on.
I love how you're spending most of the time confused.
I really am. Matt, tell me about the documentary film. What are the dangers that it's documenting?
It's
reading South Korean novels about being... Sorry, South Korean manuals.
We'll get to that.
Oh, look at this. Well, I'm saving this. These are the aperitif. My main course.
Yeah,
comes
I am.
Soon.
I am, because of the phrase South Korean lover's manual. Like, we're saving that one, Gary.
It's better than a South Korean lover's automatic.
Bolt action love.
Kick down.
Oh.
Matt.
Cold War.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think I've picked anything particularly fun this time, but that's what I was using the random button until I got something of some meat. So, this is a US kind of, it seemed like hazily military funded thing.
Oh, one of those ones that turns up on the Prelinger archives now. Yeah, okay.
I haven't heard that phrase before, but it sounds like something that pops up on archives. I recognised a still from it. It's got that like seal logo on the front
It'll
of it.
It'll be one of the public domain ones, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the engagement period?
So that's... When the engagement of war.
Ah.
So when they believe that they are engaging in it. It's one of those, you know, duck cover, hide in your bathroom kind
right.
of things.
Yeah.
But a list of all the dangers of what they could do, even if it's not necessarily nuclear, because they have enough nuclear-specific ones, but all the other kind of ways they could attack. There could be commies in your area. an entire section called
Red Dawn. This is Red Dawn.
Red on your street, it said.
Ooh. Close enough. All right, hush my smart mouth.
I know. It's the thing that they say it in such phrases and that.
All right. That's, we've got some strong ones here. And then we have a South Korean lover's manual. No, I'm teasing you about...
If you use it right, that's a strong one too.
Yeah, I'm teasing you about this, Gary, but honestly, if your brain came up with South Korean lover's manual on its own, like, I realise I say this sounds implausible, but also, I don't think that's something... Like, if it was about trains, if it was about...
South Korean train lover's manual.
If it was an old Yorkshire...
Train shagging?
You okay there? He's been spit-taking for like 20 seconds now.
I had two problems there. Number one, I was laughing and I had tea in my mouth. Number two, I need to descale my kettle, so I didn't really want to swallow it later.
Lovely.
If you've come up with this... This is not me saying this is implausible. This is me saying this is going to be good.
Yeah.
Either because it's come from your head or because you went through Wikipedia until you found South Korean lover's manual and then went, oh... Do tell.
Produced by the South Korean government in the wake of the Korean War, because you had a lot of, well, all right, let's face it, it's blatantly sexist, isn't it? It's a lot of young, the target audience was young girls who were getting engaged to American soldiers.
Ah.
Oh.
The problem being then is that the American soldier inevitably moves home, it all breaks down, they get very disappointed, it's causing all sorts of, you know, what you would call today mental health issues. So the point was to point out, if you're getting engaged to someone and you are very much in love and you get engaged and it's all fine, actually, he might go home, it might all fall apart, you will be very disappointed in love. And these are all the things that you should be thinking about when you're on your path to getting married. So it's kind of marriage training sort of thing as well. So a lover's guide is one way of putting it. Another way is it's like a marriage training and also kind of warning text that says, you know, if you're going to get engaged to a GI, bear in mind, he might already have a wife, go home, leave you, dump you. Or if you are going to stay with him, here's all the things he needs to know when he's in Korea. Here's all the things you need to think about as a couple.
I wanted to be that.
Yeah.
And you thought it was going to be about f***ing.
That's
but
the
that's
final
chapter.
Chapter
three.
This is without doubt the most difficult one of this entire run.
Good Lord.
It's almost like we've had some practice.
Yeah, and I should have had some practice. And I've been picking this quite well so far. But I just don't know.
Which chapter's that?
Four.
Marlene and Dietrich.
Yeah.
I think the dates are right. I like the story around it. Yeah. It's something in there that doesn't feel right. You okay there? Matt... Red on your street is
awesome
and almost entirely convincing, but I don't think engagement period is the sort of thing the US military would use for that. And I think this is the first time I've done this in this whole run we've filmed in this block. Gary, I think it's you. Am I right?
No.
Oh! The one time I go for your option, Brannan. The one time.
The one time you give me time to f***ing think of something.
Oh, that was... right, okay. So we're down to the Marlene Dietrich film or Red on Your Street. Chris.
Filmed in Scheveningen in the Netherlands. Well reviewed by Lotte Eisner.
Oh...
Points to Chris.
Can I tell you, Matt? Red
no,
on your street.
To Gary.
Red
to me.
To Gary. Point to Gary. Red on your street. Like that was the detail
that
brilliant. Nearly made me go. Are you okay there?
Cattle.
Cattle.
He needs to descale his cattle.
You need to descale your cattle.
It was fine earlier, though, wasn't it?
We're all right.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Congratulations to whoever won. I haven't been keeping track of the scores, and you shouldn't have either.